But it needs to be dealt with. Jesus took it to the cross so that we could be at peace, so that we could offer one another forgiveness in the same way that God has forgiven us. And so we shouldn't boast that we're all forgiving if we don't actually forgive. And if we can forgive, if we are a forgiving church, if we're a church that walks in the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace and the mercy, we shouldn't boast in ourselves anyway. We should boast all in that it comes from Him. We should have the type of lives that say, you know what, if it wasn't for the Lord, I'd never be able to forgive you. That's the truth. But when I look at what God has forgiven me of, it makes it a whole lot easier to forgive you of. You see, that's the problem. We think we're holier than others. It comes back to this word, holiness. I've been saved, and so I think that, you know, since my life is getting sinless, I'm not sinless, but my life is getting sinless, I get to pass judgment on other things, right? It's Christianity, modern-day Christianity, but it's not biblical Christianity. Because communion, because what the Lord did for us on the cross is supposed to always call us back to that point. Not to live in guilt and not to live in shame, but to know how to forgive others. To know how to live alongside people who are in sin, who are committing sin, who maybe don't know the Lord's salvation. That's the point. And so when it's to kick this guy out of the church, he says, here's the thing. You kick this guy out of the church because it's come to that point. And then this part, don't boast about this. Don't boast about this because, do you know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so this word leaven, it's not yeast. It's not yeast. What happened was they would take like you go to Family Dollar, get bread, right? It's not how it used to happen, just in case you didn't know. But they would take part of the old lump, and the old lump would start to ferment. And what would happen is they would add the new to the old, right? How many of you got a couple kids? And like those kids seem to just like eat everything. And so you're like, we ain't throwing that away, right? No, you're going to eat that later because you're going to be hungry in 10 minutes. You're going to eat that. And so they would add to this old lump, and guess what would happen? You didn't have a new lump and an old lump. The old leaven, the old lump would affect the new lump. And you would put the two together, and it didn't happen like that, but throughout the week, guess what happened? That new lump became the old lump. The new lump didn't make the old lump new. The old lump made the new lump old or fermented. And so when he talks about this leaven, he says, listen, he uses these pictures about old leaven and new, or old lumps and new lumps and leaven and leaven and leaven and leaven. And the problem is the leaven is not the person. The leaven is the sin. The reason that the person has been removed is because the person remains to be the old lump. The person that is getting kicked out of the church is not repenting of their sin. They're not being changed. They're not willing to be. And so you remove him because that's the only way to remove the leaven. If that person will repent, then the leaven's been removed because the leaven is either sin or evil. It's speaking of the evil in the church. Now, when we sit here and we think, oh, we wouldn't allow evil in the church. Well, anytime we don't deal with sin, then we allow it. And he says, when you allow it, it's just affecting the whole. And so when we say this person over here sins, not affecting that person, that's not true. We cannot walk with Christ and be united by the Holy Spirit and somebody else's sin not affect us as a whole. You might not know about it, but I'm telling you, it's affecting the whole. The Lord works this way. He doesn't want sin to just remain covered. He will start to, and so things start to change and things start to happen. It's because the leaven needs to be removed. And if we don't remove the leaven, then the whole batch just becomes the same. How many of us think that it's okay to tolerate? Like, oh, we'll just, you know, we just won't say anything about this because maybe it'll just work itself out. Right? Maybe it'll just work itself out. And if we just don't say anything, it'll work its way out. Like, listen, that's good for a moment if you see the Spirit working. If you see the Spirit moving, then maybe it's not your job to say anything. But here's one of the things. Are you praying? Are you interceding? Are you doing all these other things to help be a part? Right? Because we don't react, we respond. So when we see something, we respond. And the problem is, who's the fixer in here? We all think that it's our responsibility to fix. And so the problem is we start walking in our own strength and we start fixing our own way. We decide how we're going to call it out. We decide, you know, all these types of things when maybe the Lord is just showing you so you can start praying for the situation. How many times do we just take it in our own strength? Oh, he's shown me this, and so now I need to walk it out in my own strength. No, maybe he's showing you this so that you can go to him and know how to respond to it. dealing with this lump. It's never just like this one-on-one thing. This is what he says. He's speaking to the church here. And so when he's speaking of this holiness and this discipline, he's speaking about this leaven. This leaven is this sin. This leaven is this evil. And so he says, cleanse out the old leaven that you can be a new lump. You're like, well, wait a second. I thought you were a new lump. Listen, he says it right here. He says, cleanse out, verse 7, cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump as you really are unleavened. He's saying, be what you are. Because although this sin is taking place in the church, he tells them, listen, you are unleavened. You are without evil. You are without sin. And if you're sitting here thinking, how can they be having this sin in the church and they're without? It's because of what Christ did for them. See, positionally, in Christ Jesus, you are without sin. Evil should not be a part of your life. It's not who you are now. You're a new creation. You've been saved. You've been sanctified. You've been redeemed by Christ's shed blood for you. And so you are unleavened. You're a new creation. But now he says, so get rid of the old. Make sure that there's no evil and no sin inside you and inside your church, because you are. So be it. Do what you are. That's what he's saying. So remove the sin, remove the evil, so that you can be who Christ has made you to be. Because if you continue to allow it, then you're not who you say you are, who Christ has made you. Because your salvation is not dependent upon your works. You didn't go to the cross, Christ did. You didn't pay for sin. You didn't make atonement for sin. You didn't do that. Jesus Christ did. And so since he's dealt with your sin, if you're in Christ Jesus, you're forgiven. You're sanctified. You're justified. You're a new creation. But now there's a part. Ephesians 4, walk worthy of the calling by which you've been called. Now walk like it. There's a place in your life that doesn't look like Jesus. Don't just pray about it and be like, oh, okay, well, as soon as the Lord takes it, no. Get off your rear end and do what you need to do. Because here's what's happening. We've become tolerant in the church. And instead of calling people to action, we've mistaken and we've got this whole fear like, oh, well, if I actually call people to live out what they proclaim, then I'm telling them that it's a works basis. No, you're not. Christ did the work. He completed the work. Remember when he raised from the grave? It was done. It was finished. And so now encouraging people to walk like Christians, it's not telling them that their salvation is dependent upon the work. It's like, listen, you've been saved. Act like it. I mean, I talked about going to camp. And I love going to camp because I get to act like a teenager. That only works at camp. Well, at youth camp. That only works at youth camp. I can't go to work or I can't go live in this world and act like a teenager. They're going to be like, you're like way beyond those years. You have to be and act and live like what you are. And so at youth camp, I get to blob kids, I get to arm wrestle kids, I get to do all this kind of stuff, but here's the truth, there's a point where it comes out. I got to talk to this one kid, and I called him a stud. Like, you know, he's a studly kid. And this, like, I realized, this is how you realize how old you are. Because, you know, like, when you're older, when you have a little more maturity, like, there's certain truths that just need to be called out. So I call this kid a stud. And he's just looking at me. He's like, okay, what's a stud? Okay, right, let me pull it back, like, you know, to whatever, you know, that's, you know, whatever. And the truth is just this, but so here's the point. Things need to be called out and dealt with. You have to be what you proclaim. Because this kid was making proclamations that he belonged to Christ, but guess what? There were certain things in his life that were clearly not. And so he didn't know how to fix it unless he knew. So I got to have a one-on-one conversation with this kid and be like, hey, listen, here's the deal. Here's what you proclaim. Here's what you're living. The two have to meet. The two have to match. You start praying about something and somebody comes in a loving way and shares something with you, maybe that's God telling you to get off your rear end and do what you're talking about. Go be a Christian. Listen, that's not going to get you salvation. You should be doing it because it's who you are. How many of you have a job? If you go to your boss tomorrow and you're like, hey, here's the deal. If you have to work tomorrow, if you go to your boss tomorrow and you're like, hey, listen, I know that this is what my job description is. I don't want to do it. You know, I'm just not going to do it. I still want the paycheck. Okay? I want to make sure I get my insurance. I want to make sure all that kind of stuff. I want you to give me credit. credit like I'm here doing that job, but I'm not going to do it. How many of you think you have a job on Tuesday? Unless you work for a company that, you know, they have to, like, give you this notice and this notice. But there's a point where sooner or later, you won't have a job. Sooner or later, you're going to go to your boss and you're going to be like, hey, listen, this is my job. I don't want to do it anymore. And they're going to say, you know, congratulations. You're going to get your wish. You don't have to do it anymore. You're just not getting the check anymore either. Like, there's a certain reality where we have to look at our lives and be like, hey, if I'm proclaiming this, how long do I get to not live this and still think that that's who I am? Like, there's a certain amount of time where you're like, wait, that's not who you are. Man, I have a full head of hair. And I comb it every single morning. And if you look at my head, you're like, it doesn't matter how often you proclaim it. It's just not true. And so now how many times I say it, it ain't happening. Our lives are the same way. Our spiritual lives are the same way. I walk with God and I trust in Jesus and I do this and I do that. Well, how much time do you spend with Him? Well, what do you mean by time? I do my devotion in the morning. Okay, yeah, but is that like devoted time? Because even in the word devotion, it means it's devoted to. Or do you read this thing and you go on? It's not devotion. It's not devoted to. Listen, this is a call for us as Christians to get serious. Listen, Christ's work, it's complete, it's finished. Your salvation, man, if you're in Him, your salvation, that's Him. But here's the deal. If you have no desire to live like it, to look like Jesus, to be changed, to like be called out of your sin, to be transformed, then guess what? His atonement hasn't been made real to you yet. You don't belong to Him. Listen, we have to deal with sin. We have to deal with sin, and we don't want to deal with it on a whole. You know why? Because we should be dealing with it. We should let the Lord be dealing with it in our lives. We should have to deal with it on the whole is when it comes to surface. When it comes to this, when it comes to that, when it's not being dealt with. And so this is what He says. If you allow that to continue just in that one person, it'll affect the whole. I read this, I don't know what those things are called, I don't know, beef or whatever, this last week, and it said, you know, leaving one sin in your life is the same as leaving one rattlesnake in your bed. Just even one. And see, we've gotten to this point where the church has told us that we're, these lines have gotten blurred. So it's not a bad thing to call out sin and to be like, man, I need to be dealt with. I need to be transformed with this. And again, nobody's proud when they're in sin, right? If you're proud that you're in sin, then let's go back to square one and what did Jesus die for, right? Nobody's proud to be in their sin. But there's supposed to be inside the church body. There's supposed to be like, hey, here's the deal. I've been speaking with men. I can't, I'm having troubles dealing with it. I'm having troubles being changed. I'm having troubles. And you can come to this place and share what God is calling you out of. Share what you're struggling with. And not have the fear of all of these other things. You see, the church has blurred these lines to where it's like, oh man, if I say anything, then I'm going to be judged. Or if I do this, then this, then this, and this, and this. When there's a very clear line, sin is sin, and that's it. Sin is sin. And so the sin must be removed. What does that look like? Well, it's different in different scenarios, but the deal is, it's got to be removed. Leaven, he brings up this festival and this leaven. Be this new lump, because you are this new lump. And then he brings it to Christ in Passover. And Christ was our Passover lamb that has been sacrificed. Then he brings it to this. Therefore, let us celebrate the festival, not with old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. There's a few things I want to pick up on this. And so he says, Christ is our Passover lamb. Now, here's the thing. There was a week-long celebration. When they have celebrations, they're a week at a time, right? That's what they do, right? Why? That's for your homework. Why do they celebrate for a week at a time? Anyway, that's your homework. So anyway, in this Passover, right, is anybody, there's this week-long celebration. Anybody know when the Passover lamb is sacrificed? At the end of the celebration. You know what the rest of the celebration is? Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you know what they did? They went through their whole entire house. Now, this is how important it was. Because he's bringing us the picture of Passover and the celebration of Passover. And so whether it's Easter or whatever it is, it's the same. And so he brings their minds to Passover. And you remember what happened in Passover, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They were called to get rid of all the leaven in their house. Now, this is the seriousness of how they got rid of. They didn't just go to their cabinet and just remove the old lump, and they didn't just go to the cabinet and be like, oh, well, there's some yeast and there's some this, and so we'll remove that. Here's the seriousness of removing the leaven for this festival. They made sure they swept every breadcrumb they could find in the house. Right? They swept the whole entire house. So we can say, oh, they went through and they swept the house. No, they swept the whole entire house. They vacuumed every single corner to make sure that not even old leaven, that was a crumb that fell off last week's bread, was even left in the house. There was a seriousness in this festival of making sure that no leaven was allowed or anywhere to be found. And so when he's using this picture, he's saying that's how it should be with our sin, with our personal sin and sin in the church. We should be seeking to get rid of any leaven because Christ has been crucified, because he was offered as the sacrifice. That happened at the end. But he says we're on this side of that. So now when we celebrate and we look to Jesus Christ, our life should be lived according to that. And so he's bringing it to this festival. Listen, the church should be looking for sin in our own life. And if you spend enough time looking for the sin in your own life and asking the Lord to bring it and reveal it, you won't have time to worry about your neighbor's sin. It'll make itself known when the Holy Spirit wants it known and dealt with in the whole. Just focus on yours. Just focus on yours. But it should be to that seriousness, to the same festival, to the same thing. But here's the thing. He says celebrate the festival. Because we look at like dealing with sin like it's this horrible thing, and all pastors saying I have to deal with sin, and sin is bad, and all this kind of stuff. And he says, no, it's a celebration. You know why they went through the whole house? Because they didn't want anything inside of their lives. They didn't want anything to be a picture that would make the sacrifice necessary. They wanted to make sure that, listen, it wasn't them. Everything was removed. And so now that Christ is already, we should be searching our lives so that we could be Christ-like, so that we could be lives worthy of him and his sacrifice. And so they searched everything. It's a celebration. You should be thankful and praising God that your sin hasn't been allowed to remain in the darkness. You should praise God that the light of God has come and exposed your sin. Guess what? He loves you. He wants it dealt with. He wants you to realize that Christ went to the cross for it. It's something to celebrate. Not sit here like, oh man, I'm getting called. Because here's the thing. The more you sit and be like, oh man, I'm getting called out of my sin, that means you love your sin more than you love the Lord. That's it. We're getting ready to go camping. How many of you camp for like a week and you look forward to that shower? Right? Your first shower, right? And the floor of the shower was like, it was like mud. You sure love to be clean like that. But how come spiritually we're just like, oh, I don't want God to deal with my sin. I don't want him to call it out. I don't want, right? It's a celebration. We should rejoice in the fact that he wants us to deal with sin. We should celebrate. Communion, when we come to communion, we should be like, man, this is what the Lord's cleaning in my life. And praise God, because guess what? He's called it to my attention. But we're so busy walking around with the abscess thinking, oh, it's going to go away. Oh, it's going to go away. Oh, it's going to go away. We forget that the abscess is there to let you know that it needs to be dealt with. Your sin, God, the Holy Spirit is letting you know. God says, listen, your sin is not good. It's causing some issues. It's causing disfellowship. I'm telling you and I'm showing you because it's been dealt with. That should cause a celebration. It should cause a celebration. That's what he says, celebrate. They celebrated for this whole week, and Passover took place at the end. The early church, when they celebrated, I want you to listen to this, when they celebrated, this is typical. And the early church went on for a few hundred years. They would celebrate communion. They would have communion every week, right? Every time they gathered together on their weekly services, they would have communion together. But here's what took place. Before communion, they would take that place where Paul says examine and confess and do all these things. They would take this time of confession, and they would take all of this time, and they would confess, and they would say this, and then they would have communion, and then I want you to listen to this. Then they would have communion because they took the time to confess Then they celebrated that the Lord had died and cleansed them and purified them. And then they would do this. Then they would give their offering. They would make their offering after the understanding and the working through that Christ has given them everything. And so like they paid their tithes after they gave communion. Because of the process of the whole entire picture. Because here's the thing, like you just throw a 20 in the box and you can do that blindlessly, you can do that aimlessly. But the point of taking the communion every week is that kind of seriousness. It's like, here's the time to confess. Here's the time to celebrate that Christ has done it. Now I'm going to give what I have in thanks. That's how it actually took place, because they understood communion. And so when he says celebrate this festival, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about celebrate with that seriousness. The two words he ends this section with, sincerity and truth. The bread of sincerity and truth. Unleavened, so we know that there's no sin, there's no evil attached with it. But of these two words, listen, everybody knows what truth is, right? Let's just basically say truth is not a lie. Right? Two plus two is not anything other than four. Right? So truth is just truth. And so, like, we don't need a real clear identifier on what truth is. But this word, sincerity. How many of you have done things with a sincere heart? You can put your hand up. It's okay. But when you say sincere, what do you mean by sincere? It means you meant to? Like, if you, because there's so much power in this word sincere. This word sincere, sincerity and truth. This word for sincerity is alacrinia. Now, here's what it means. How many of you like the sunlight? How many of you go out in the sunlight you just like, right? And there's so many things that the sunlight gives us. And you know, without the sunlight, we couldn't have life, we couldn't have all this, so... This word is used five times in the New Testament. Four of the meanings are here. I won't go through all four right now. But here's what it means. It means that the sunlight shines on this. Now, it doesn't simply just mean that the sunlight shines on this. It means that the sunlight shines on this to reveal and expose. Right? And so it means the sunlight being the God's light, the light from God to shine on and expose and test our motives. And so when you say walking in the light, it means to be walking in openness and honesty. So this word sincerity, hey, celebrate, do all of this with sincerity and truth, right? With this bread of, this unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. It means to that. It doesn't just mean simply that the evil's been brought. It means that the light of God shines and exposes everything. It means you're willing to be exposed down to your core. All the way through. How many of you like a little bit of sunlight? You know what sunlight does? You know what happens if a house never gets sunlight? If it's never exposed, what starts to grow? Mold. Some of you have lived in Oregon. Okay. Mold starts to grow. And what is the best defense for mold? It ain't bleach. It's sunlight. And the picture's the same. When you walk in it, you walk in it in a way that mold never gets a chance to grow. And so you walk in the sincerity and truth of the unleavened bread. It means you're not even like dragging evil around like, hey, if I ever want to dip into it. No. Not only is that not part of it, it's that you're walking in this way to always let your life be exposed to the truth. Not like a whiny baby. I don't know. I don't know if I can do that, because if I do, then I'm going to have to do something. And then I'm going to... No. It means walking in the boldness of the truth of God. It means that his light gets to expose whatever he needs to expose in your life. Because there's a desire to have no evil present in your life. Now, I know we make those statements. And if I were to say, man, who's signing up for that? Who's ready for that? I would willing to bet that most of our hands, if not all of our hands, would go up and be like, man, I really want that. But before I would even ask that question, it would be like, here's the thing. With all honesty, is that really what you want? Because it's available. It's available. God's light can actually permeate everything down to your core, and he will expose everything if you want it. Listen, if you're in Christ, it's not for your salvation. This is because you're saved. This is because you want to look like Christ. You don't want to look like your neighbor. You don't want to look like the world. You don't want to look like any of that stuff. You want to look like Christ. You want to live like Christ. You want to enjoy everything that he enjoyed and everything that he promised. Remember what life he promised for you? The abundant life. Now get your head out of the clouds and thinking what abundant life is. Abundant means that you can walk with God in his will according to his word. That's the abundant life. And listen, whenever you're in, right, here's the thing. The best place, the most enjoyable place, the place that offers the most peace is right in the center of God's will. You ever notice that? I mean, just go into Acts, and when Stephen is getting stoned, right? Like, he shares this sermon, he shares this teaching, and he goes on, and they get upset, right? Seriously, sometimes the truth of God just offends people. And so they decide they're going to kill him. And so what does he do? He's in the center of God's will. And it says his light was, his face was shining. Right? It was so bright, it was shining like an angel. Right? And I don't know, anybody ever been hit by a rock to the face? I don't know about you, but if that happens, it's not likely I'm going to have a smile on my face. Because he was in the center of God's will, and God took care of him. And God took care of him. And so right in the center of God's will, that's the best place to be, no matter what's coming at you, no matter what's hitting you. You know why things are so painful most of the time? It's because we have some kind of sin we don't want to let go of. God's calling you out of it, and you're just struggling, and you're just fighting, and you're just... God says, listen, I'm trying to get you out of that. It's just actually being open. It's actually being open and willing to let the Word of God, willing to let His light expose every bit of sin. That doesn't mean that you need to confess everything. Doesn't mean that you mean you just run around here and you know you're the person in the church who runs around and like just confessing everything to everybody. No, that's not what God calls you to. God calls you to confess to Him first, and if He wants you to tell somebody else, trust me, He will. But the question is right here, man. Are you ready to be exposed by God's light? Like every, if you're like, man, the smallest bit. Lord, the smallest crumb of sin or evil that's present in my life, Lord, that's there. Maybe it's in that corner that I kind of forgot about. Because when you sweep the floor, you guys do like a really good job. Or do you think the stuff in the corner can wait until you have time? And so you're like, Lord, every single corner, every single crumb, I want every bit of it. I want it actually dealt with. And here's the thing. Don't jump to it too quickly. We're going to take a time to examine ourselves. And so here's the question. The question is this: Are you ready to let God deal with every crumb of sin in your life, even the stuff that maybe you don't know about yet? So I want to take a moment, and I want to just take this time for everybody to pray. I just want you to seek your own heart, and I want you to ask the Lord to search your heart. And I want you to ask Him, hey, listen, Lord, is my heart in that place? Well, I want it exposed because I want it dealt with. I want to live in victory. Remember last week we talked about walking in victory, walking in the power of the forgiveness? Lord, I want to be able to walk in that 100%. So I'm going to just ask you to bow your head, and I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm just going to ask you to talk to the Lord. And ask the Lord to just show you. And if there's any unwillingness, if you're like, man, I don't know if I want to do that, just would you just admit that to Him? And say, Lord, I need to even be changed to the point to where I want my sin dealt with. To where I want it called out. And as you're doing this, He just may lead you to that one thing. That one thing that you know you've been holding on to. You just thought that, you know, it was hidden. That it wasn't dealt with, or that something along those lines. Hey, listen, He's exposing this because He loves you. He's not showing your sin to make you feel horrible, or to make you to live in guilt, or to make you to continue in shame. He's showing you this because His plan, His purpose, what He's doing is making you like His Son, Jesus Christ. That is God's purpose in you. That's why He left you here. He didn't leave you to evangelize first. He didn't leave you to do all this. He left you here to be transformed like his son, first and foremost. All the other stuff comes from that. So if there's any area of your life that's like, man, if I really put it up against the light of Christ, I know that it doesn't line up. It doesn't meet. Can you just confess that and ask the Lord to change it? And maybe you're here and you're like, man, I don't know if I can ask him to change it yet. Then start admitting that and just start asking him to just change that part. To give you the desire to be like him. Listen, Christ gave his life because he loved you. He paid for your sins. This is a celebration. This is something we should rejoice in. But he's not letting this sin remain because it will destroy you. There are some in here who don't even know what to do with their sin. They don't even know. Lord, could you just show them? That, Lord, they just need to hand it over to you. They just need to say, okay, that, yeah, this is my sin. I committed it. This is where I'm at. Would you just forgive me? And Lord Jesus, would you show them that your blood has been applied to their sin? And just confess it. Just trust it. Just give their life to you. Father, would you just draw us to yourself? Lord, we want to be the church. Lord, we want to be the collection of believers. Lord, and we want sin to be, Lord, exposed. We want it to be dealt with in our lives. We want it to be confessed. Lord, we want to rejoice in your finished, completed work on the cross on our behalf. Lord, we want to see our children. Lord, when they come in here, when we take communion, we want them to know that this is serious. That what you did is permanent, it's real, it's powerful. And Lord, there are those who have been walking in sin. And Lord, they've been putting on a facade. They've continued in sin and continued in sin and continued in sin. And Lord, they maybe have just been brought to the point of realization. That Lord, it's that thing that didn't seem too bad, but it's just grown. It's turned into more. Lord, it's the crumb in the corner, and they call it, and they confess it, and they bring it to you. Lord, help us to be see that unleavened lump, that new lump. Father, help us to make amends where we need to. Lord, if we've been holding back forgiveness for somebody, Lord, you're calling us so clearly today to go and make amends. Lord, help us to grant that forgiveness. Lord, I pray that as we get ready to take communion, that none of us would take it in an unworthy manner. Call us and just continue to work. We just want to praise you. We want to thank you for your power. We want to thank you for your blood. We want to thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, we want to thank you for your fellowship. So, Lord Jesus, we need you to work well. Lord, as we worship you, we thank you. All right, church, we're going to have Brandon go back and get the kids. And so please make sure that your kids are sitting with you. This is the thing we're going to do as a family, and families of families. And so have your kids sit with you. Dads, I'm going to start with dads. Dads, it is your responsibility to make sure that your children are in a place to take this word. Okay? Single moms, if dad has bailed or whatever, you're here, you're holding down the fort, then it is now your responsibility. Make sure your children understand what communion is. Make sure your children understand what we're getting ready to take part of. Make sure that they know that. Amen? All right, now here's the next thing. It tells us to examine, to wait for another, one another, this, that, and the other. Does anybody need more time? I don't want to jump the gun. I don't want to jump the gun. Anything like that. Okay. Does anybody need to make a confession, or does anybody need to share anything? Anybody need? Nobody. All right. Okay. We're all quiet. We're all crickets. Anybody have any questions about communion before the kids come in? Yes. What's that? You have to be baptized to be communion, to take communion. Great question. Here's the thing. So what is our baptism? Our baptism is our public profession to the world that the Lord has saved us, right? And so it's that we've given our life to the Lord. What is communion? Communion is a celebration that the Lord Jesus Christ has shed his blood and given his body for us as well. So here's the thing. No, you don't have to be baptized to take communion. If you need to be baptized, make sure you get baptized. Make sure you're on the list to be baptized. But if you've given your life to the Lord and you know that he's your Savior, then yes, you can partake in communion. There might be some differing opinions on that, but that's what I clearly believe the Bible to teach. Because communion is the same thing. You're professing to the church, you're rejoicing and you're celebrating the fact that Christ shed his blood and broke his body for your sins and for the sins of the church. And so, so no, I would say you do not have to be baptized. The thing is, you have to be saved. Church word for you belong to the Lord, right? Okay? Good question, though. Anybody else? No other questions? All right. All right. No other questions. All right. We're going to do it like this. You guys upstairs have... Okay. Hi, buddy. All right. Does anybody need a little time? Do they need to explain this to their children or anything like that? Anybody need to spend a little time maybe with your spouse or anything like that? Anything? Don't waste this opportunity. We're getting ready to... All right? All right. Yes. How old is the Bible? Okay, so, which book? Which book? Because if you mean the collection, you should have been here for the canon class. If you mean the collection as what we have in our Protestant Bible, it goes back to about, well, it. Okay, here's the thing. As far as like the canon, like this is the Bible, around 1400, 1500. So there's a little bit of stuff the first person who kind of put the collection like we have it together was in 13, I think 57 or something like that. But basically what you have as a Bible was about 1597, something like that. I can't remember. Around that. It's old. It's old. But as far as like Genesis and like the Old Testament, much older. Much older. So like even when Jesus walked, so when we have the, because you know the New Testament is like after Jesus, right? And so even when Jesus walked the earth, the Jews considered what we have in the Old Testament, that was their Bible. It was the same. They just cataloged it differently. And so you know how we have like 1st and 2nd Kings? Like 1st and 2nd Kings wasn't two books like we have it. So our 39 books of the Old Testament was 22 books, right? Okay, so, but the Old Testament was the same. It was the same. It didn't change. It didn't change. Good question. But those dates are a little fuzzy, but 1300, 1500 are important dates for that, just so you know. But, just so you know, okay, one more quick question, or a quick answer. The first church, within the first 100, 120 years, what we have as the New Testament, the church already considered that as their Bible as well, just so you know. So, like, it wasn't, quote-unquote, officially canonized then, but that's what they considered their Bible, even the first church in the first century, so... Great question. All right. Any other questions? Bible trivia. Like, right? I mean, just, amen? Hey, all right. So we're going to celebrate communion. Can I have Alan come on up? Alan, come on up and just come. We'll just have you just kind of form a line. We're just going to have a couple of trays, two trays right now. So just don't push anybody over. You know, I don't care if you're strong enough. But don't push anybody over. But just please come and get your supplies and then come and sit back down, and we will take this together. So go ahead and start just coming row by row. Come on, this side. Come on. Come on this side. Everybody, come on up. Just come and get both. Side. Coming up as you. Oh, sorry, buddy. Oh, man, good job, dude. Next side. Just don't. Come on. We haven't run out yet. everybody else. Celebrate, amen. All right, Brother Alan, would you voice our prayer, please?
Let's just stop.
Amen. Amen and amen. Oh. Jump with the gun, buddy. Jump with the gun. Hang on. Hang on. There's no special prize if you collect all those cups, just so you know. Hey, isn't it good to have church? Hey, all right. Thank you. Let's have a word of prayer, and then don't leave too soon. If you are going up to the campground, and you beat me up there, it's the Cottonwood Campground. It's on the backside. It should have Cold Springs Valley Church on all the campsites that we're allowed to use, okay? So just look for one of those. If not, it's supposed to be the very end of the loop back there, okay? So if not, go ask the campground host. They should be able to tell you. But don't leave too soon. Get some snacks. Have some fellowship. Have some conversation. Share some testimony with each other. Amen? All right. But Father, we just want to thank you and praise you, Lord, for your shed blood, Lord, that we are a body because of you, by you. So, Lord, help us to glorify you in all that we do and say and, Lord, live out. We thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.